Hello, it is 8:30 a.m. in New York, 3:30 p.m. in Johannesburg, and 8:30 p.m. in Bangkok. Welcome to the Expat Happy Hour. This is Sunday Schneider Bean from sundaybean.com. I am a solution-oriented coach and intercultural strategist for individuals and organizations, and I am on a mission to help you adapt and succeed when living abroad and get you through any life transition. When I moved to Switzerland almost 18 years ago, I spent the first few years feeling like I stuck out. Although I might have physically blended in with everybody on the street, you know, I got rid of my tie-dye t-shirt and bell-bottom jeans that I was first wearing when I wore there, and I started wearing, you know, the black jacket and dark pants, but I still felt exposed, like being different. So many of my interactions, like when I spoke German or how I just wanted to naturally connect with people, or maybe even the speed at which I wanted to make friends. But after time, I was starting to feel comfortable and I was letting go of some of the things that I did back home, and I was taking on some of the things that were considered normal in Switzerland. And I actually began to love waiting for everyone to sit down and say agueta before we ate. And I started to personally appreciate how it was when I went into a meeting and shook everybody's hand individually and greeted them. So when I went back to the U.S. to get my master's degree after 4.5 years of living abroad, I realized that something had changed, and that was me. And suddenly I felt awkward in situations that had felt easy for me in Switzerland. And even my fellow students at the university said that I sounded like I had an accent. So I had unknowingly become part of a community of what our special guest today calls the triangles. At the most basic level, the concept of a triangle is someone who leaves a country, let's say country of the circles, and lands in a country of the squares. And in the process of adapting, they become something quite different, a triangle able to adapt, but forever changed. That is why it is such a treat to have Naomi Hadaway today with us, founder of I Am a Triangle, a global movement that is really impacting how expats connect. So Naomi, thank you so much for being here today. Welcome to the Expat Happy Hour.
Thank you, Sunday. It's really such an honor to be here and have this chat and conversation with you.
Now, I don't know, I'm guessing most of the people that follow me on social media already know who the Triangles are, or the I Am a Triangle group, but let me just give a little background for those who don't know this. I Am a Triangle is over 10,000 plus strong membership community online and face to face. And not only is Naomi the fearless leader of that, she's also appeared in the Washington Post, in Lifehack, on Savvy Source Radio, WSJ, Tandem Nomads, Two Fat Expats, just to name a few. Unbelievable how she finds time to be a speaker at Families in Global Transition and, get this, is a real estate agent who uses her experience moving abroad to help families find not just a home, but a community they will love and thrive in. So, Naomi, you are amazing. How do you do it all?
You know, it's funny because I do not claim to do it all. There's a lot that I don't do, and those things typically end up being the laundry, dishes, grocery shopping, all of that kind of falls to the wayside. I'm much happier when I'm doing my passion work instead of housework. So I don't do it all, but I do love what I do.
Well, what you do, you definitely do well. And I'm totally on the same page with, I just can't do it all. So I have to make choices.
Yeah.
maybe my husband doesn't always agree with how those choices align, but I'm doing what I can, right?
I agree. I totally agree.
You know, I don't know if you know this, Naomi, but I sold across the I Am a Triangle group, I don't know. It's for sure over a year. One of my clients actually recommended the Iron Triangle. And she said, Sunday, you would love this group. And I honestly had never come across it. And as soon as I popped in, I read the posts and I read how people were sharing, how they were celebrating their victories and asking for support on the things that were really challenging. I thought, this is seriously the coziest, most supportive corner of the internet for expats.
It really is.
And it really is. And you've done such a great job creating that. So today when we talk, I want to really dive into how have you created this community of the triangles?
Well, first of all, thank you for saying that, because I really think that it is. I have been a member of other groups. I've looked, you know, for support in other ways. But the Triangle community is amazing. And it's not just me. It's because of that, you know, 10,000 plus. Everyone shows up and they kind of have agreed to the culture of the Triangle community. And because of that, there's very little drama. There's a lot of support. And what's really cool is watching people who have been in the expat or the life abroad lifestyle or journey for a long time. I'm talking 30, 40, 50 years. And they still show up day after day to help the people who haven't even left yet with the same questions over and over. And that kind of support and just across the board kindness, I think, is what helps our community continue to thrive and flourish. Back in the early days, the community was literally started as a way for me to share the load, so to speak. I had written a blog post about what you explained, the circles, the squares, and how we mold into triangles and how we can never again fit in really with the circles. I wrote a blog post about that after my mom, who is a missionary in Kenya, had shared the concept with me. It had been shared at a debrief with MTI, which is a source for missionaries returning from the field. And when I wrote the blog post, I hit submit just like I had on hundreds of other blog posts. And a couple of weeks later, woke up to hundreds of emails in my inbox from people who had found the post and resonated with it. And what I found was, and you have this similar situation with I'm sure the people that you work with, their stories were heavy. There was a lot going on. There was a lot of pain and a lot of sorrow and a lot of confusion around them feeling like they were the only ones. And so in an effort to ask other people to help shoulder those stories, I started the Facebook group. We only had 30 at the very beginning. And it was a slow and steady growth where people would add their friends. And I think the question you asked is how did I grow the community? And I think it was number one, by showing up every day, whether it's an online Facebook community or in real life community, you have to show up and you have to keep showing up even when it's quiet on the other end. And I think the other really key part of it is developing that culture of kindness. We don't tolerate bullying. We don't tolerate bashing of cultures or other countries. And it's just kind of created this soft space and a landing corner where everyone knows the rules and everyone shows up to support and give what they can.
It is, you know, this idea of being understood. You know, when you posted that circles, squares, triangles, it's so simple. And, you know, I'm an intercultural specialist and I know I have kind of the nerdy view on cultural adaptation and all the multiple factors that go into the adaptation process and identity development, blah, 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 right? And I think what was so powerful about that was I'm different and I don't feel like I fit, but I belong somewhere and I belong with my tribe, mm-hmm. right? So I think there's that simplicity that, of course, it might reduce some of the, you know, ins and outs of how people adapt. It acknowledges I'm changed because of this experience and I might not be understood by people who haven't had it, but I am understood in some deep way by those who have.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. And I can just share from my own experience on the I Am in Triangle. Sometimes, you know, I'll giggle at something that's going on in my life. And then every once in a while, I'll share it with I Am in Triangles. And I remember there were two times that really struck out at me. One was when my son, he's four, one of them is four, and he had on these Burkina Bay shorts, like handmade pannier shorts that were given by a nanny who is from Ouagadougou. Then he had on a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles t-shirt from my mom and dad from North Dakota, and he had on Swiss soccer socks. And that's what he chose to wear that day, right? So I posted it, and I didn't post it on my normal Facebook page to all my friends. I posted it to the triangles because I knew they would get it. I knew their kids had the same stuff at home.
Yeah. And the response, I remember when you posted that, and it was a very funny, lively conversation about our kids and how, yeah, I remember that. I also remember the one that you posted about, I think it was a photo of plates. Was it when
the four plates? Yes.
Yes.
Right. So the people who didn't see that on the I'm in triangles, I posted the four plates. And because I pulled out four plates out of the cupboard with tears in my eyes, because I had been separated from my husband for, 9 months. And it was so significant to pull out four and not three plates that evening.
Yes.
And I shared it with a group. And 300 people chimed in and said, I totally get it.
Yeah.
And right? I think and so I
go ahead. Well, I think that's part of what also makes the community amazing is because it's truly global. You can post at any time of the day or night and someone else is awake and able to either cheer with you or support you or say, I hear you. And that's something that I think makes it really special too, because someone, you literally know that someone's on the other side of your computer or your device or your laptop.
Right. Right. And I think that what it ultimately does, and this is what I experience when I first speak to someone who is considering working with me as a coach, we'll get on the phone, I'll listen to them, and then I'll kind of repeat back what I'm hearing and what I've experienced with my other clients. And inevitably they're like, oh my God, it's like you're in my mind. It's like mm-hmm. you're in my brain. Mm-hmm. Because they're not alone. Their challenges they're unique, but they're not vastly different from all the other struggles that we expats have gone through, especially expat spouses, the accompanying partner.
Right.
So I think there's something so validating about feeling, you know what, I'm going through this and it's tough and it's okay. I'm not alone. And like you said, you can reach out and get support from people. But I think essentially what sets expats apart from people who stay in their location is they go through an experience that changes them and causes a lot of questions. And it feels really, really lonely sometimes. And you have some really big questions. We all have big questions. If you stay in the same hometown your whole life, you have big questions, right? And expats on top of that have those questions around things around their children, around their aging parents, plus they have, a continent or an ocean in between half of the people that they love. So right. It just emphasizes the struggles that people are going through. And if you don't have community because you live on some remote, island or a landlocked country that no one's ever heard of, then you can feel even more isolated.
Totally agree. And I think that it's, like you said, that the questions that we all have as human beings get, I don't want to say that they get more important, but they get more, I don't know what the word is that I want to use. They get really, when you add in different cultures and different beliefs and different even ways of parenting, even. I mean, if you just look at the topic of parenting, taking your children to another location and watching how that host country parents and how they view children, and then you move them to another place and then you add even more things in. I guess it expands those questions to be something that sometimes feels insurmountable, that you can't ever possibly find the answer. And so you just kind of plod along in your life, hoping that you're doing the right thing. And when people choose to then ask those questions and ask for other people's answers inside the triangle group, what's really cool is watching everyone, generally speaking, without judgment, give their answers. And then you can watch a really beautiful story start to come together around everyone's answers. They're different and they have different impacts and different places of origin based on whether they lived in Africa or India or wherever. and to just watch all of them come together. And then the original person who posed the question gets to kind of look at all of it and go, oh, okay, now I've got some resources and I have some tidbits of this that I'll take, and I'll take some tidbits from this person's answer and truth. And it just becomes very cool.
Yep. And don't we need more of that in the world right now, right? The ability to really listen non-judgmentally to other people's experiences.
Yes. Wouldn't that make all the difference in the world if we took time to just listen?
I know. And I think that's the difference between people who will go abroad and be in a new location and do what is their default, and those who go abroad with an openness and a willingness to be vulnerable and challenge their own assumptions.
Yes.
Those who do that are able to learn so much more. It might not be easier, because it's really easy to shut down and to just stay safe, right? To stay comfortable. It might not be easier, but in the end, I think you grow a ton more.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
So tell me, you know, you are, you know, becoming known as this community leader of such a lovely group of internationally minded individuals from every corner of the world. Tell me more about this concept of community, especially with the expat life. How do you define real community?
That's kind of like the question, how do you define home, right? I think it's different every day. I think that I define community as something that is as necessary in life as being kind and having home. I feel like, you know, my work as a realtor, in the Northern Virginia area, I have found time and time again with my clients that if you dig down deep enough and if you ask the right questions, and then, like we were talking about, if you listen, people, they crave community. They crave someone knowing who they are, and they want there to be a feeling of having been invited somewhere, knowing that it's just a door knock away if you need something. But I think that we've gotten to the point where we feel like that's too vulnerable, and maybe we don't want other people to see inside our homes, and the drive for community has kind of fallen by the wayside. And so when I first meet my clients, I say, you know, we ask questions about, what do you want to feel like when you come home? What do you want to see in your neighborhood if you go out for a walk? And they always look at me like, why are you asking me this? I just want a brick front house with an open floor plan and a full basement. And we really dig in to say, no, that stuff doesn't matter. And I think it speaks to the bigger definition of community, where you have something or someone that offers you the support that then you can go and thrive in your best life and do what you're meant to do on this earth. So I look at the triangles, I think we're almost to 12,000 now, all 12,000 of us who have found the group. There's more out there. I'm excited to see how this is going to grow. But the ones that are currently in the community, I view the triangle support community as a place where people can get their questions answered, offer support to each other, and then feel so enabled to go do that thing that they're put on this earth to do.
So Naomi, that makes me think, I mean, I don't want this to be, to put you on the spot or, you know, to ask too private a question, but this makes me think about, was there a time where you felt like you didn't have community? You've been to India, you've been to Singapore, you've been abroad, you've repatriated. Is there something that you can share with us about, where you realized how community is when it wasn't there? I don't know. Tell us more about your own experience.
Yeah. So that's actually a good question. And it's something that I've been talking about. My mom is actually here right now visiting from Kenya. And we've been talking a lot about race relations and politics and just all of the things that are going on in our world right now. And I grew up with a Black father and a white mother in the early 70s when it wasn't quite okay to have a skin color that wasn't one or the other. And I also then was homeschooled my entire education. And I think the combination of those two things really set me on this path of realizing that you might not always be given a community that welcomes you in. You might have to find it yourself, or you might have to figure it out yourself. I also then added to that being a young mother, unwed mom. I was 18 when my son was born. And that also was a, you know, kind of outside of the community norms. So I think from an early age, I realized that you can create your own community. And I kind of have set out to do that. Not
intentionally. But it's such an easy place to get angry, right? To say, come on, you know, I don't belong in either community. I'm, you know, rejected from the family context. How did you not go to anger? How did you change that into something positive?
I think it probably all started when I met my husband. We met when my oldest was 8, and I kind of sailed through life. Like there, I don't know that there was an angry part, but it was just kind of an apathy of, I'll just do my own thing. You know, if I have to walk this middle line and can't really fit into a box, I mean, literally I don't have a box to check if I'm, you know, filling out paperwork. There's not often an other box. It's white or black or Native American. So I think I just kind of, my early teen and early adult years just was apathetic about it and just kind of nonchalant and just didn't do much about it. When I met my husband then and we moved from my home state of Nebraska to Georgia, and then we set along this path of being abroad for a while, I started to realize that there was a bunch of people walking around feeling the same way as I did, that they didn't fit in. So I guess, I don't know, I guess that's part of what I was sent to do is find people that all they needed was that sense of belonging to be able to then be empowered to do what they're supposed to do.
It makes me think of the Island of Misfits in the Christmas story. It's like we've all landed on the same island of misfits.
Totally, totally. And I think that that goes back again. It's one big picture of kindness and listening, right? Because if we can't approach someone else with kindness or with the willingness to listen, we're never going to hear their story and never understand that they too probably don't fit in some way in the society that they're in. So, yeah. I don't know if I answered your question, but.
No, I mean, I'm just curious because I just had a hunch that there was a reason why community, that creating community was so important. And usually that comes from a sense of understanding how important community is when it's not there, right? I mean, part of my work is one of my first big transitions wasn't even international. It was when I moved from my home state to the university in my home state to a university in Minneapolis with 65,000 students. And I went from knowing, you know, tons of people every place I went to knowing no one. And I felt really lonely. I transferred in the second semester of my sophomore year into a freshman dorm, like really, really bad story, right? And it was so lonely because I grew up in a small community. Everybody knew my name. People were supportive, you know, and I just felt totally lonely. And I knew it was really hard. And then reestablishing my community and then moving to Switzerland, giving up everything I knew.
Right.
Trying to recreate myself in a new country, in a cultural context that was hard to break into initially. I mean, I felt it in my bones, right? And that's part of why I do what I do, because I don't want it to be, it's hard, right? But it doesn't have to be as hard if you're using the right strategies, the right? Tool. So I just had a hunch that you're also driven by your purpose.
Well, and I see, I guess that's beautiful, see untapped potential in people. One of the things that we're going to start vetting out with the Triangle Group, which is going to be very interesting, is who of our members have something that they haven't birthed yet because they didn't feel supported or because they didn't know really what direction to take, and really calling out those people to say you're here for a reason, whether it's to be a life coach or whether it's to be someone that works with children who have lived abroad and go into college and have that struggle, or whether it's relocation professionals or writing a book. There's just so many things that we all bring to the table from the experiences that we've had. But if you're stuck in a place of not feeling supported or you don't feel you have that community, it can feel impossible. So I'm excited to see that take place. And I think that it also someday comes from, it depends on where you've lived. When we moved to India, I moved without assistance. There was no HR department. There was no movers there. I mean, it was all sourced by me. And I landed there. And then 3 weeks later, or actually, I'm sorry, 3 days later, my husband left for 3 weeks. And I was like, well, okay, nice. I can either figure this out or I can drown. And the good thing was Delhi was a hardship host and our kids were in the international school. And my community found me the first day of school. Yep. I mean, literally, it was like there was women standing there with coffee cups saying, come, come in.
Oh, you know, we're here. Gorgeous.
And that was amazing. But then I realized that's not the case for everybody.
No.
You don't always get to land with a group of smiling faces asking you if you've had lunch yet. And so I think that that's why then we started doing our TriConnect groups, where we have 87 right now subgroups. 60 some of them are in cities around the world. And we did those because we found that sometimes you just need a smile on the other end of the airport terminal.
For the listeners who don't know what a TriConnect is, that's a face-to-face meetup in a specific location, right?
Yes. Yes. Well, yep. we have 60 of them, that we exist on Facebook, but then yes, once a month, sometimes just once a quarter, they get together, people that are in those city locations, but it also provides a smaller group setting because we are so big in the main triangle group. A smaller group setting to be able to ask questions. Sometimes people use it as fact finding when they get their next city assignment. So they'll join that group to find a doctor and, you know, get all of that information before they even land, which is nice.
So I want to hear more about, you know, this has been quite a journey. You know, you've shared with us some of the challenges you've had personally growing up, and then how you partnered with someone who through that job took you across the world, and now also moving within the United States. Plus, you've professionalized yourself in the direction of working in real estate, and you're managing this gigantic community. Tell us, what has been the most challenging thing for you?
Oh goodness. You mean through all of it?
Through all of it. the thick and the thin.
I think the most challenging, there's probably a couple different things. I think the most challenging thing has been, as you and I have talked offline about, is that oftentimes this life abroad thing means that you're separated from your partner, your spouse, and your close family. And that for me has probably been, now that we're, you know, 9-10 years into this life together, my husband and I, that's been the thing that I've realized has been the most challenging. When I set foot on that plane and said, okay, yes, I'll do this. Why not? I didn't realize how integral having support inside my four walls was going to be. I'm pretty gutsy and brave, and I always say, sure, I can do it. But I think that we all need someone, whether, you know, if you're not married, if you don't have a partner, finding someone is hugely important, I think, in this life. You know, when you live abroad, when you expand your horizons. But separately from that, I think it's the challenge of always having to reinvent yourself.
That's a lot of accompanying partners complain about that. So the one who gives up whatever they were doing and moves abroad for their partner's assignment, talk about that. They're just exhausted. They're so tired of reinventing themselves every single posting. And I mean, one of the things that I really try to work on with people is, one, sort of taking the pressure away from yourself of what am I going to do for the rest of my life?
Right.
But at the same time saying, what do I want to do now? Not what can I do? I think it's like one big mistake that people make. They say, well, there's a part-time opening in this office, so I'll do that. Instead of getting really clear on what you want.
Right.
And we're in service of an organization and of your partner when you go abroad. And in that position of service, sometimes people get used to forgetting about themselves and what they want and what they really need.
Absolutely.
And I find that that's, you know, a lot of the people that I work with, they don't even know what they want. And they might even come to me like, Sunday, I don't know if it's the right time to work with you because I don't know what I want. And I'm like, oh my God, it's the perfect time because you need to figure that out. Like you talked about purpose and we're, you know, you said that we're all here to serve a purpose. There is a sense of emptiness when you don't know what is that?
Right.
What is that? You know, and you don't have to, you know, answer that now, but you can start by saying what feels rewarding now for me now. Right.
Right.
So I think that's so fascinating.
Well, and I think
there was something else that you said about living far away and that time, you know, most of the people that I work with have been expats for 15, 16, 17 years, just for that reason that you said. You get sad every time you get on that plane and say goodbye to your aging parents, or your nephew is 12 now and you've only seen him four times in his whole life, yes. Right? That's when it starts to wear on you.
Yeah. Well, and I think that something that I really enjoy, and I didn't start really getting into it until we moved abroad, was the whole concept of volunteering and giving back. I mean, I did it as an American citizen. I did it kind of, you know, through PTA and, you know, volunteering at school. But not until we moved abroad did I figure out that on the worst of days, or on the days when I thought, this is ridiculous, I cannot believe that we did this.
I'm sorry to laugh just because I totally know what you mean, right?
Yeah. I mean, there were some days, right?
What did I get myself into?
Yes. Well, and my husband traveled so much of the time that I would wake up. And, you know, it's also an interesting thing because in India, it's very common to have hired house help. And I struggled a lot with people's assumption of what that meant for us as a family. And I would get a lot of comments like, oh, why are you, I cannot believe you're complaining. You have everyone doing everything for you. That's a whole nother discussion, but.
It totally is a totally another podcast.
But I found that when I would leave my house and I would go volunteer in a slum, or I would leave my house and go teach English to kids who needed an hour of my time, it made everything better. And I feel like that's, as much as I hate to even admit this, I think that's missing today. Like, I feel like not enough of us are leaving the confines of our house where we feel depressed or where we feel a huge struggle, and just going and doing something for somebody else. That can totally change your experience abroad in such a positive way.
And so that brings me to actually one of my last questions is, you know, what I've heard you just say is that being of service to others when you are in a new location is a great way to get connected to the community and also feel a sense of purpose.
Yes.
And that's important, so you don't get stuck. Tell me, based on all of your experience, online communities, face-to-face, volunteering, US, abroad, what are, in your opinion, the top two or three things that you think expats all over the world can do to become part of a community or to create community wherever they're at?
That's an excellent question. From a practical standpoint, I think it's connect before you go. In whatever way you can, the Triangle Group obviously is a, you know, is a great place to do that. You can find us on Facebook, and then we have subgroups for those cities like we talked about. But connecting before you go, I think, is such an important thing. When I first moved to Delhi, I was a blogger. I had been blogging for years when Blogger and Blogspot first came out. And I scoured the internet looking for someone else who was sharing their journey online. And I found a wonderful woman named Ellen, who is now a friend, and I stalked her. for 6 months. And I asked her so many questions. What do I bring? What should I know? How do I need to dress? What, you know, how do I prepare the kids? And she was so amazing. And I asked her at one point, if I could bring her something from the US, and her only response was, no, I don't need anything, but I just would ask that you pay forward the help that I've given you, to somebody else. And I think that now it's a lot easier in 2017 to find information online. But do research, find someone that you can ask the questions and then connect, because when you have that connection, and that friendship, even if it's just, very surface, it makes your whole entire, landing experience better. So I think connect before you go, be responsible to do something. Whether you find that there's a missing gap at the school, maybe they don't have the services that your child needs. Maybe a teacher needs your assistance. Maybe there's a newcomers group, something, just plug yourself in. It might feel uncomfortable and it might not be something that comes easy to you, but I find that when we answer the call of responsibility, that opens us up to amazing possibilities. And then I guess third, report back, like write about it or share it with somebody else. Teach your kids, teach the people that are around you, teach your family back home what it means to go a little bit further in your friendships and relationships. Because I think that one by one and on an individual level, expats kind of, in my humble opinion, can control global change. If each one of us who lives abroad can teach another person about opening up our minds and expanding our horizons and listening and being kind, think of what, I mean, can you imagine the ripple effect if
right, exactly. Let me recap the three things that you said, because those are important. You talked about connect before you go. And it makes me want to give a shout out to Kirsten Weisman, who did exactly that same thing for me when I moved to Ouagadougou. I was terrified about malaria and, you know, medevacing my kids. And that connecting before you go, you connect before you go, and you let someone connect with you. Yes. And answer their 1,000 questions before they arrive to give them that sense of security. Yep. So to connect before you go, plug in once you're there, like you said, take responsibility for something. And I would add to that, do something, take responsibility for something that brings you joy. Out of a sense of this will bring me joy. And the third thing you talked about is to report back, to share with your friends and family and fellow community members what you're experiencing and how you're starting to see the world. And what I'm hearing is kind of a bigger goal there around creating change, you know, globally. And you mentioned the size of the expat community. There's probably, I'm guessing, 25 million sort of rotational expats, 250 million people outside of their home country. So the ripple effect is gigantic.
Yeah, it is. And it's the beauty of, like, if you just sit and think, you know, about all of the problems that we have in our world, I don't think it's out of place to say that kindness and showing up for each other can start to change that. I don't think, I mean, it sounds a little silly to say those words, but it's what I believe. And I think it's the onus is on those that live abroad to get that started.
Right, because we have an opportunity to see beyond borders because of the mobile nature of people's work and lifestyle. That's an opportunity to share that back. So that's really beautiful. And I really think, again, now more than ever, do we need that to create more understanding, as we were saying before. So I have one other question I just have to ask you. We talked about, you know, you're doing it all, and you said you don't see yourself as doing it all. But what do you think? What is your magic recipe for balancing work, family, your own business, and your community responsibilities? What is it that helps you keep your sanity?
So it's been a work in progress, and I'm always learning. I actually have a framed piece that says Ancora Imparo, which is I am always learning. It's Latin. And that's front and center in front of my face all the time. I think that what I've come to realize is that time blocking for me is hugely important. And it's literally that I spend maybe 2 hours a day in a certain thing and I don't do anything else. I don't answer emails. I don't look at my phone. I also have been very religious in getting up early, although the last couple of weeks I have not done so great. But I think that just setting aside specific times for specific tasks is helpful. And then, man, I really, having the right people around you to help with things is hugely important. I'm not doing the triangle community by myself. We've got leaders that are leading all of the separate subgroups and people that are stepping up to say, I'll help. And that's amazing. I think that's probably a good finishing thing, is when you have a community and when you seek out community, then you find those people that can step up alongside you to help.
Oh, I totally agree with that. And I think there's this thing that people do where they think when they see someone who's successful or who has built something, they think that you did it all on your own. And that's just not true. I mean, everything I've ever done has, I've had an army of people behind me. I mean, I can't give a workshop in India until my husband comes and hangs out with the kids. Right. You know what I mean? It takes an army of supporters to do anything. Well, and I think that's important for people to think about.
Have you seen the, it's a TEDx talk by, and I can't remember his name and I'm feeling bad about that, but it's about how a movement is created. And I think it also can be segued into how anything great in life happens. One person gets up at a festival and he's dancing wildly in the middle of this field, and everyone else is looking at him like he's completely lost his mind. Yep. He's viewed as the leader. And then the second person says, I want to do what he's doing. And so he gets up and starts dancing. And the whole point of this TEDx talk and this visual is that it's not about the leader ever. It's about the second person and then about everyone that joins in after.
Yep. I will put that in the comment section for those who are listening to the podcast, because it is really beautiful. And it also shows that the leader is only as strong as his or her followers.
Yes, absolutely.
That there is no leader without supporters. And so being a leader is truly an honor and a privilege, because that's, you only remain that through followership.
Right.
No, it's a beautiful image for us to close on. Now I know that we can find you on the Facebook group, I Am a Triangle. That's for those who are living an international lifestyle or have repatriated and identifying with this community. Where else can we find you, Naomi?
Probably the best place is, where I don't write enough often as I should, but NaomiHadaway.com. And then I'm all over. I love social media. Instagram, I am the relocation expert. Twitter, I'm Naomi.Hadaway. And I love connecting with people virtually, in real life, and all of that. So yeah, reach out and let's get to know each other.
Okay, perfect. So I'll also put that in the notes. So if that was too fast for someone, they can have that. And any last words of wisdom for our listeners who are feeling either that they want to intensify their involvement in the community or do more to create community where they're at?
Oh man. I mean, we could talk about this all day. I think, I guess parting words is just, show up, you know, even when it feels uncomfortable, find someone that you can trust that has your back, that can push you a little bit. You know, that you can call and say, Sunday, today, I'm not feeling like I want to go do that thing I should do, so that then you have someone say, no, go do it. You know, find someone that can be your encouragement. But yeah, showing up is important.
All right, Naomi. And on that note, thank you for showing up today. Thank you for your generosity of your time and for sharing that with us and your experience, because I know there is a lot of wisdom and energy that you've invested to create such a powerful community. So thank you for your time. It's been such a pleasure.
And thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you, Naomi.
Bye.
So you guys, Naomi is amazing. Listen to her. I'm left struck by the themes that I've heard through kindness, showing up and listening. And just when I'm listening to Naomi and what she said, I can feel in my bones that she is so committed from her heart. From her heart to help others reach their full potential, to understand or find the answers for what their purpose is, and then go out and do it. And that's what this community is all about. So, wow, this is someone to keep your tabs on, because there is a heart of gold that is behind this. And it's been so nice to have her. So thank you for listening to the Expat Happy Hour. This is Sunday Bean. And remember, no matter how things are, you are not alone.